listeners. We're back here breaking bread in Napa. I'm so excited. We've got a great show for you today. I know we've had a couple of episodes that we've focused on value quality wines, but we're really going to dig deep into the value wines. A few of our listeners have gave us some great feedback on, you know, some of these wines that we're tasting are in the $50, $60, $70, $80 bottle range. And, you know, that's not always, you know, accessible to the masses that we would like to introduce to wine. And, you know, our goal here at Breaking Bread is definitely bringing fun into wine tasting and exploring different wine regions and really getting a lot of people involved, either young, old. You know, you don't have to break the bank in order to enjoy an amazing bottle of wine. With that, we wanted to cover a couple of, three wines we have to taste today. Totally accessible. Two of them are going to be from Trader Joe's, that friend of the pod, Freddie, who I'll introduce in a minute. He's going to cover those. And so exciting, Napa just got their first Costco. So naturally, we took a drive over to the new Costco to check out the wine department. And, you know, there's a great selection there. But we really wanted to hone into on some special value wines. And I think we really closed in on one, and I'm going to cover that one. It's by Whitehall Lane, and it is a Napa Valley Merlot. But we are going to get started with the two that Freddie wants to introduce us to. So again, Freddie, who certainly helps with the production of the podcast. But Freddie, I want to let you, you know, give a little background on yourself.
Freddie here. I live in Oakland, California. Product manager, and yeah, currently been helping Tyrene out with the production of this podcast and ready to dig into these value wines.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much. So listeners, just to tee this up, what we're doing, we took some photographs too. So we're really excited. We're going to be launching, we launched a podcast site. We're launching a website as well. So we're starting to take some pictures and video, and that'll be, you know, down the road, but we are tasting live here the two bottles that Freddie's going to give us a little background on that he picked up from your local Trader Joe's. And then I'll also give that overview of that Costco bottle of wine that I found in the department that I think really is a strong Merlot. But Freddie, why don't you go ahead and take us out? We're going to start with a white wine, I think. Go ahead, Freddie. Tell us a little background about this white.
Great. Yeah, so the first wine we're drinking today is Trader Joe's Vino Verde. Espiral is the brand. This is a white wine from Portugal. It is slightly sparkling. There is some artificial carbonation happening after the production of the wine. And something unique about Vino Verde is that it's actually sold within 3 to 6 months of it, the grape being harvested, which is very much shorter than what is traditional for most wine. It's a very light wine, great for kind of by the poolside on a sunny summer day. It has some notes of green apple and melon. Typically, you'd find a Vino Verde in most grocery stores for about $10, but this one at Trader Joe's, it's $4.99.
Wow, that's amazing. Let's sip on that and see.
Very fresh tasting.
Very light. Definitely green apple. That green apple note, I can taste it all day. It's amazing. It's very subtle. The effervescence is very subtle. It's not too overwhelming like a champagne or sparkling wine would be. So very subtle. I can see this being paired with a ceviche or a shrimp cocktail. If you're doing appetizers, this is a great wine to bring to a dinner party, to kick off the dinner party or pool time, summertime, spring. Just really refreshing, light, and certainly doesn't break the bank at all. But I think that it's a really good wine that you should definitely pick up. If you're looking for that type of wine and you're, you know, at your local Trader Joe's at $4.99, that can't be beat. If you're having a party of 30, 40 people, you're definitely going to be able to really, you know, spread it out and everybody will have a nice glass or two.
Totally. One more thing to add about Vino Verde is not that it's actually made from a particular type of white grape or green grape, but in fact, it's made from any green grape, and it's more about the process in which it's made, and not necessarily, again, from a specific variety.
Aha. And this is Portugal, right? A Portuguese wine.
Correct. This is from Portugal, and I think they make it throughout all regions in Portugal.
Oh, okay. Okay. Excellent. Listeners, you know that we really focus on Napa. We're very Napa biased here, of course, because we're recording from here. But we are going to open up, you know, down the road in future episodes. We're going to definitely cover the globe and some of the other wine regions of the world. Even here in the United States, we're looking at maybe next month taking a trip, taking the podcast on the road to Oregon and taste some Pinots up there that they're doing some really good things with. But this is only the beginning. We really just wanted to get that out there with some quality value wines at your local wine purveyor, if it's Trader Joe's or if you have a favorite wine cellar. So yeah, I think this is a hit. This is really tasteful. And at $4.99, you can't miss this. So we're going to cleanse our palates. Freddie's got an Italian wine that I'm excited to taste. It's one of my favorite grapes of all the Italian, or region, I should say. Is it a region or is it a grape, Amarone?
I think it's the type of wine.
Okay.
It's made from, I mean, hop into it right now. It's made from a Corvina grape.
Okay. Okay.
But it goes through a very special process that is specific to this type of wine. The process is called apasamiento. And I'm definitely butchered that in Italian. But it's actually very unique in that, the grapes are shriveled to almost become raisin, which really concentrates the flavor. It does also mean that it takes about twice the amount of grapes to create a single bottle of wine.
Wow.
Than an average bottle of wine.
Wow. And is that for this particular bottle, or is this for all Amarones? That is like the production of, if you're going to produce an Amarone wine, that is the production. I didn't know that.
That's correct. Yeah. All the Amarones are made through this process. Yep.
And, you know, listeners, I do, you know, I like, you know, Italian wines, you know, the Chiantis, there's some really good Chiantis out there. And, but Amarone is one of my favorites. So really nice to get a little background. I had no idea that, you know, it's the type of, you know, the production again of how they make that wine that makes it an Amarone. And again, this is one that you got from Trader Joe's.
Correct. This one is from Trader Joe's. And again, on average, these outside of Trader Joe's, these bottles typically start at $50 to $60. That's the lowest value you'll typically find if you go to a proper wine store. At Trader Joe's, this one is $15.99.
Wow, that's amazing. I know even at restaurants, you know, and if I'm on an Italian restaurant, I always go to the Amarones, but they're like $80, $90. So certainly, you know, it's definitely a pricier one. So I'm excited. I haven't tasted it yet. So why don't we go ahead and give it a taste, right?
Yeah, let's taste it.
All right, let's do it. And then listeners, just to kind of give you a background, again, we're going to read the professional or the winemaker's tasting notes so that we know that we can look for some of those notes and try to identify them, because we're just as new tasting some of these wines as everybody else is. So we want to bring a little fun and experiment, and you know, there's no right answers. If you like it, you don't like it. It's really, you know, it's your palate. So, you know, no pressure there, but just like four little easy steps to remember. I know I've mentioned it in other podcasts, but again, you want to look at the wine. You want to look at the color. You want to give it a swirl. Okay. You want to help open up the wine. You want to look for some long legs on the wine, some of that viscosity on the inside of the interior of the wine glass. How does the legs run? You want to look at that. You want to smell it. They call it a bouquet, but it's a smell. Just smell the wine. Smell it. And then you want to give it a taste. Swish it around inside your mouth. Cover your palate and just like try to identify, you know, some of the flavor profiles that, Freddie, maybe you can let us know what are some of the profiles that we should be looking for?
Yes, I did a little research, and some of the notes that, you know, you can expect in an Amarone are kind of oak, black and red fruits, and some vanilla and tobacco. Definitely, as I'm tasting it, yeah, it's dry, but it's also has some deep flavors and a little bit of even sweetness.
The fruit is really, it's fruit forward, but it ends dry. It's a dry finish.
Totally.
Which is typical, I think, of an Amarone, but this is a nice balance between fruit forward up front, and then it like kind of takes you on this little journey in your palate. And you get to that dry finish, but it's not an overwhelmingly dry finish. It's a short dry finish, which is nice. I don't typically care for a long dry finish. But this is really nice. The balance between the fruit forward and then the drier finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was expecting at the beginning of the taste for it to actually be a little more tannic, mm-hmm. more tannins, mm-hmm. and it wasn't. As you were saying, was fruit forward, really tasting some of those dark fruits like blackberry and cherry, I would say.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely fruity up front. Now I look for fruit. I like fruit forward wines typically. And what year is this? Is this a specific vintage, this bottle?
Yeah, this is a 2021.
It's a 2021. Okay. Okay, good. Excellent. Yeah, for $15.99 for an Amarone. Again, if you're going to that dinner party, you want to bring a nice bottle of red wine, I mean, stop at your local Trader Joe's and there you go. I think it's definitely, hits the spot, hits the mark of quality value, certainly.
And another thing I was reading as I was doing research is Amarones, they are ones that can really use some time aging as well. You know, they say it's something you can just forget there on average for most bottles, 10 to 15 years even.
Oh.
And they said if the producers really knows what they're doing, even some high quality bottles, 50, 60 years.
Wow. Holy cow. So it's like a Cabernet, a Napa Cabernet, same thing. You know, if the producer, you know, has that, quality in its production, it could definitely be put to rest for decades, it sounds like, properly stored, 55 degrees, particular for red wines. But yeah, no, overall, I think these were really spot on. Thank you for introducing these wines to me and to the listeners, Freddie. Really, really helpful.
Totally. I think Trader Joe's at large has some really great things to offer. You know, sometimes you have to know what you're looking for and be willing to try some different things. But they have a wide range of wines from all around the world. You know, they might have one option of each variety. But if you're willing to try something new, I would give these to a taste.
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, it helps to get a recommendation. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into the wine section, either at Whole Foods or even Trader Joe's, and people are just like, which rosé do I want? Or which red wine? You know what I mean? It's like, you just don't know. But, you know, hopefully we can, you know, we're getting our website together and we're going to start like listing some of these wines. And if you're out, hey, I'm on my way to the, you know, the dinner party, let me just jump on there. I'm going to stop at Trader Joe's. Let me see what the Breaking Bread guys, what do they have, you know, on their list. So we're here to help. We're here to support that. We really want to introduce, you know, wine tasting and all the fun and, you know, the history, there's just so much, you know, to winemaking and the whole experience. And we're hoping, you know, to get some converts, you know, out there and newbie wine tasting folks out there, you know, just because it is such a beautiful and lovely experience. And, you know, just to share a nice bottle of wine, you don't have to break the bank and you could have that memory because it's really about memory. You know, it's like sit down, open up a nice bottle of wine and, you know, have that conversation, have that holiday, have that dinner party. And, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's what we like to try to, you know, extract and try to, you know, promote here from Breaking Bread. So Freddie, you have anything else to add to your bottles or anything before? I don't want to cut you off short.
No, I think okay. that's all I had for those two.
Okay, listeners, we're going to take a break here and we're just going to get into this Merlot. It's our biggest wine here and we're going to be right back to you. All right, listeners, we're back for our third bottle of quality value wine. Again, this was the bottle that we just got our Napa Costco and went over there to check out what the wine department was all about, which is great. We were looking for Cab, but we stumbled across this Merlot, which is just absolutely outstanding. As a lot of you listeners know, I really am into the family-owned vineyards here in Napa Valley, and this one certainly falls into that bucket as well. It's Whitehall Lane. They do, you know, a great job. They do Chardonnays, they do Merlots, they do Cabs, Malbecs as well, but this is a Merlot. It is a 2019, and as I've mentioned on other episodes, 2019 in Napa Valley, that vintage was an amazing vintage. We got plenty of wine, rain, and we did get plenty of wine as well, because we did get some really nice wine. It was a later growing season, March, April. So the rains really went late in 2019. And by the time, you know, the vineyards started to bloom and everything, it was a later one, but certainly well with it. We had a few heat spikes during July and August, but nothing to disrupt the grape growing process. So it was an abundant vintage. We've got a lot of production out of it overall in the valley. So 2019, you know, even if you're out, you know, for dinner or you're, you know, shopping, look for 2019 because you can't go wrong. The 2019s are drinking amazingly well right now. They've aged quite a bit. I mean, that's like 5-6 years now. So, and again, it was a great growing season. So taking it back to Whitehall Lane, it's a 2019 Merlot. And just to give you a little bit of the breakdown of the percentages, 87% Merlot, 8% Cabernet, 7% or 3% Malbec, and 2% Petit Verdot. So that is the breakdown. And just to give you a little background, 91 points. Wine Spectator rated this 91. That's nothing to sneeze at. So. And then James Suckling, he's another wine raider, very well known, 91 points as well. And then Wine Advocate gave it 90 points. So, you know, it's definitely well rated. And at $27.99 per bottle, I mean, I think this is a steal. Freddie and I were just, you know, sipping on it and tasting it and just saying, hey, I've tasted $60 bottle of Merlot that wasn't as smooth as this particular bottle of wine. So I'm going to just read some of the winemaker's tasting notes, and then we're going to take a sip and try to like identify those tasting notes. So the winemaker at Whitehall Lane, who is Jason Malton, he said that look for notes of raspberry croissant, red currants, cocoa powder, and layers of graphite. And the graphite comes from the soil. As you know, we've got a lot of volcanic activity here in the valley. So that graphite is definitely part of that soil as well. And the palate showcases fine, firm tannins alongside chocolate cherry, red plums, dried goji berries, and toasted brioche. I mean, that's a lot to take in, but that just gives you the idea of the complexity and the depth of this wine. And it should be enjoyed now through, it'll sit for till 2035. So just to give you an idea on proper cellaring. So yeah, let's take another sip, Freddie, and then try to identify some of those different flavor profiles from the winemaker.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing the raspberry as compared to like a blackberry or other dark fruits, because it just has that like tartness to it. And then I think you said croissant and brioche and cocoa powder. And those all are giving like an element of fat to me. And I definitely am feeling just a slight bit of fattiness to it, which, you know, I think sometimes you might think a bit more on the white Chardonnay front, but definitely getting a little bit of that here as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the finish, if you notice, definitely not dry. I don't have a dry finish at all. It's a nice, juicy, long, you know, it's definitely a wet, more wetter finish than as compared to the Amarone that we tried. Again, just the difference, different flavor profile. You know, it's all good. But yeah, I this wine at $27.99, I mean, this is amazing. If you can get to your local Costco or go online, I've seen it online. It's a little bit, you know, pricier than that $35. I seen it online, but yeah, it's the 2019 Merlot from Whitehall Lane, Napa Valley. Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Any other comments, Freddie?
Yeah, just like you were saying, I think it definitely punches above its weight for its price point. It's everything I think you want from a Merlot when you're thinking about Merlot. Very solid there. Yeah, I think that's all there is to say. It's a great wine at a great value.
Absolutely. All three wines were outstanding. So as we move forward with the website, we're going to have these listed. So if you're out there shopping and you're looking for some wines, you'll be able to just go right to our website and you'll be able, oh yeah, they were drinking that wine that was mentioned as a really good quality value, and you can feel confident picking that up. Everything we taste here, we're not going to give you anything that's not good here. Nobody gets on this podcast unless this wine is good. That's from our hearts, our soul. Any wine that we taste here is going to be solid. Otherwise, it ain't making it on the podcast at all. So you can be confident with that. As we took a break, Freddie and I kind of broke out into saying, like, when was the first time that you tasted wine, and how did you get involved in wine? And we've got a couple of little stories here we'd love to share with you, because we are trying to really get that younger, younger newbie wine drinkers to the party here. And so sharing some of these little stories here, I think, you know, hopefully it resonates to you guys. Freddie, tell us about how you got into wine.
Yeah, so I believe I was around the age of 15 when I started drinking wine with dinner with my parents. They started giving me one glass with dinner, which was kind of a great experience just to, you know, I think a lot of kids when they're teenagers in high school will want to go a little crazy with it. And it was a great place to just, you know, start getting introduced. And getting introduced at, you know, maybe a more responsible way, but also a way that, you know, you're interested in the culture behind drinking instead of just drinking to drink.
For the sake of drinking and getting drunk.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, I know I brought a Italian one today. The wines that my parents were drinking at the time, they were really obsessed or really interested in Chiantis, also from Italy. And so that's where I started my my wine journey, I guess.
That actually struck up a memory. I have another memory that I was going to, but my grandparents are full Italian. My grandfather's Sicilian. My grandmother's Roman. And so now that I do think it, we always had Sunday dinner. So they had wine there. So my grandfather's buddy grew grapes. This is in the Midwest, and made his own wine. So it was a big jug. He always gave it to my grandfather, obviously his best friend. So that's what we had at the dinner table was, you know, I couldn't even tell if it was Chianti versus whatever. It was whatever he was growing. But that was my first introduction into wine. Did I like it? Absolutely not. But later on, as my adolescence experimental into different types of alcohol, wine, beer, what have you, Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill, that comes to mind loud and clear. And then after that, that was not wine to me at all. And it wasn't something that I carried through. But Right out of university, my first job was in the Bay Area here, which is how I came to know the Bay Area and obviously move here and just fall in love with the Napa Valley. So, you know, a bunch of work colleagues were like, "You staying for the weekend?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." You know, they're like, "Well, we're all going to Napa." I'm like, "Napa, what's that all about?" So again, this was, you know, bright-eyed, you know, right out of university, headed up to Napa, an amazing experience. That was actually in the 80s. I know I'm aging myself, people, but, you know, fell in love with it. I was telling, Freddie was asking me, like, what was that experience like being in Napa Valley compared to what the wineries are like today, which is completely night and day. I can remember, this is a very fond memory, actually. They're trailers. We were tasting wine in trailers on the winery properties, and they would just, you know, there was standing, you just stood there and the winemaker would come out and pour, you know, a few of his new releases and some of his special wines. And, you know, I didn't look back after that experience. I thought it was just amazing. And compared to what my previous experience to Boone's Farm and then tasting a real like California wine, I was, that just set me off, and it was a beautiful experience and haven't looked back. And certainly, as you all know, at least I hope you know, that's where the passion began for me. What just, this is such a special place, and I just want to share it with everyone, and hopefully, you know, maybe just, you know, give some pointers and new people to taste this wine. And it's a beautiful experience. And if you can come here, we've got loads of different wineries that obviously we cover on the podcast for you to visit. And we're just so excited. And thank you so much. Freddie, did you have any final words for the listeners today before we sign off here?
Just to continue what you were saying, if you would like to reach out to us about joining us on the pod or have any feedback for us, you can contact us directly at breakingbreadinnapa@gmail.com. That's where you can do it.
Please do, listeners. Please do. We really want your feedback. And, you know, if you want to be part of the podcast and come on with us as a guest, we would love to have you. With that, we're going to sign off and finish some of this delicious Merlot that we just opened up. Thank you all, and look forward to talking soon. Bye-bye.